Can I invite you to turn with me in the Pew Bible to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4. We're going to look at this, Mark's account of this calming of the storm. Can I just again say how uplifting it is to sing with you as a congregation? Just to be lifted in that is wonderful. And thank you. Whenever you're traveling, there are probably things that you do not want to hear. It may be EasyJet regrets to announce and other airlines are available. You just don't want to hear that when you're traveling. It may be we will be a little bit delayed because of adverse weather conditions. Even the thought of that announcement in itself would have me going. It may be, please fasten your seatbelts. We're experiencing minor turbulence. There are lots of things that you just do not want to hear when you're traveling because they affect how we travel. We may still get to our destination, but it's just how we travel that really concerns us. And there are things we don't want to hear about that. What we do want to hear is an announcement that says something like, the weather conditions today are absolutely perfect, and with a slight tailwind, we should be arrived just ahead of schedule. That's what we would love to hear. Perfect weather. Great flying, great sailing conditions, whatever it is, great. The wind's behind us. We'll get you there ahead of time. It'll be so good traveling. We love to hear it. And we would love to hear it, in reality, every morning of our lives. We would love to get up every morning and have a message in our ear that says, today will be plain sailing. Today, the weather conditions in your life will be absolutely perfect. Today, there will be a tailwind that will carry you through this day. It will be a beautiful day. It will be wonderful. We would all love to hear that every morning in life. And there are some parts of the church that would suggest that that's how it is. We trust Jesus, then it's going to be a good day. Conditions are going to be great. The tailwind's there to carry you along. It's wonderful. And yet, we know it's not going to happen. We know that not every day is going to be that plain sailing, that lovely traveling day. We know that things are going to be very different. And those who would suggest that, well, if you trust Jesus, everything's wonderful, everything's fine, well, they can have little experience of life. They can also have limited knowledge of Scripture because our lives remind us that that is not always the case. And certainly all through Scripture, there are reminders that that's not always the case. You remember the story of old Job who was doing very well, thank you. And then all of a sudden, things start to fall apart for him. And it should be Job, not Jonah. Here's Job's comment is simply, man is born to trouble. As surely as sparks fly upward, we're going to have trouble. That's Job's comment. Just as sure as sparks fly upward, we're going to face difficulty in this life. Jesus simply says, in this world, you will have trouble, full stop. Not in this world. You might have some difficult times. There might be the odd day when it's a bit iffy. Jesus simply says, in this world, you will have trouble, but. And it's always great when Jesus says, but. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. It seems that difficulty is just part of this life. Maybe storms only happen. Maybe they only happen when we don't trust Jesus. So this is where Jonah came in. Jonah, if you remember, is called by God to go and to preach the gospel in Nineveh. And so Jonah turns the opposite direction and scarpers. I do not want to do that. And he totally disobeys God. He ends up in a huge storm. He ends up basically asking to be thrown over the boat, so that, over the edge of the boat, so that the storm would be stilled. Maybe storms only happen when you're disobedient. Maybe storms only come to you when you're not really following Jesus. But in this account from Mark's gospel, which Sandra read for us just a couple of moments ago, the disciples are being obedient to Jesus. Jesus calls them. When we read verse 36, leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. Disciples are being obedient. They're doing what Jesus told them. And yet, they run into this furious squall. So, even being obedient to Jesus is no guarantee of an easy, storm-free life. Jesus simply says to the disciples, let's get in the boat, go to the other side. There's no ETA, there's no estimated time of arrival. There's no weather prediction, there's no weather forecast. It's going to be a bit rough out here, chaps, but we're okay. Simply just into the boat, and let's go to the other side. And they go with him. They're obedient to him. And very soon, Jesus is sleeping. Mark always adds in those human touches to his accounts of Jesus. This is Jesus who feels tired and weary the way we do. And Jesus puts his head down, and he's asleep as the squall breaks. Now, some of these disciples were experienced fishermen. They would have known Lake Galilee very well. They would have known how quickly and how violently those storms blew up. And they're terrified. Absolutely terrified. And they wake Jesus with this question of, don't you care that we're going to drown? You call us to come out in this boat with you. The storm blows up, and you just ignore us. You put your head down and go to sleep. Don't you care? And Jesus simply speaks. Quiet. Be still. And it was completely calm. These disciples had watched Jesus. They had watched him healing people. They had seen him claim authority over sickness, illness. They had seen people being restored. They had listened to Jesus teach in a way that no one else could teach. That he had taught with authority. They were beginning to understand who this Jesus is. And now all of a sudden, in the midst of the storm, the same Jesus simply speaks and the storm goes. Now what are they left thinking? They would have known from the history of their own nation of the parting of the Red Sea. When Israel is trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army thundering in behind them, God parts the sea and they pass through. God controls the sea. In the Psalms, we read of God stilling the waves. Psalm 65, verse 7. God stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves. This was God's work. This was how we saw God at work way back when he rescued us. This is how we saw God at work when he calmed the waves. Psalm 107, verse 29, God stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. This is what God did. And now all of a sudden, this sleepy man in a boat gets up and says, quiet, be still. And there was complete calm. And so they begin to ask, who is this? They look at Jesus. Who is this? We thought we knew him. We had spent 3 years with him. We thought we knew him. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And it's one of those rhetorical questions that you ask, but you know the answer. For there can only be one answer in their minds. Who is this? He's God. No one else would do this. No one else could do this. And they're beginning to understand more and more of who Jesus is and what Jesus is. But Jesus responds with two questions. The first one is this, and in many ways it seems like a silly question. The boat's about to sink. They're panicking in the storm, and Jesus says, "What's wrong with you? Why are you so afraid?" Should be obvious. And then follows it up very quickly with this second question: do you still have no faith? You're beginning to understand a little bit more of who I am here, but you still don't trust me. And they're great questions. They're great questions to ask ourselves. What is it that makes you afraid? What is it that makes you afraid? Is it what other people might think of you? Is it, will my pension plan really work? Will the hopes and dreams that I have for myself, my family, will they unfold the way I think they will? Will my health continue? What is it that makes you afraid? It's a great question to ask. And it's a great question to follow up. The question to follow up with is, do you still have no faith? Because whatever it is that makes me afraid, that makes you afraid, Jesus has control over it. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing. He doesn't give us the option of being Lord of bits and pieces of our lives. The church bit of our life, Lord, you can be Lord of that. But the rest of it, I'll just worry about that and I'll be afraid of that. I'll panic about that, thank you. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's Lord of nothing. And so whatever it is that you and I are afraid of, Jesus is Lord of it. The heart of being a disciple, the heart of following Jesus is in the middle of these verses, because Jesus was surrounded by people who wanted him to do things. If you remember back a little bit earlier in Mark's gospel, there are these crowds following Jesus basically to see what he will do. To see the next miracle that he will do. Jesus is surrounded by people who want him to do things. Jesus simply wants them to trust him. He wants them to trust him. That's at the heart of following Jesus. That's the heart of being a disciple. Not waiting for Jesus to do things, but trusting him. Trusting him. And the disciples learned it that day. The promise of Jesus is never to leave you, never to forsake you. Again, many of us here will remember Eddie Burnett, one of our members, died some years ago. This was Eddie's favorite verse in the Bible. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And what always intrigued Eddie was that you could say it the same backwards: "Thee never will I forsake, thee never will I leave." And Eddie always said it didn't matter what way he looked at God's promises, they were true. promise of Jesus is never to leave you or forsake you. Things may be difficult. It may be a storm you're going through. But Jesus wants us to have a life that's built on the solid foundation, which is Him. We sang it right at the beginning of our service. Christ has made the sand that we build on? No. Christ has made the sure foundation. And the kids have been singing it. We've all been singing it. Don't build your house on the sand. Jesus wants us to have our foundation in Him. And if we're always looking for something else, if we're always looking for success, if we're always looking for excitement, if we're always looking for growth, well, I think two things happen. One is we will be frustrated and disappointed. Because we know that this life is not a steady climb and excitement and growth and success. And if that's what we think we're going to get, then we're going to be disappointed. But perhaps the worst effect is this, that living that way will point us not to Jesus, but to what we think is the good life. Jesus calls us to base our lives upon Him. And so we don't judge His care for us or the state of our own faith by the roughness of the seas around us. Still cares for us. Our faith can still be strong even though the seas around us are rough. Even though those things that we're afraid of seem to be standing up against us. We're secure in Jesus. Not in our circumstances. Paul, when he writes to the church in Philippi, simply starts his letter with this, and it's not a command, it's a reminder. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord, not in isn't life great? Isn't life successful? Isn't life exciting? Isn't it great to be prospering in every way? Yes, it may be, but that's not where we rejoice. I've been blessed over the years to be alongside folks who have lived this. People who have been in fairly awful situations. Again, I go way back to living and working in Kenya, being in a little hut with an old man who had no family around him, scratched what he could eat out of the ground around his hut, had a mat on the floor and a couple of old tins to cook in, and told me, Stephen, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And so many people that you and I know who have been in dreadful situations, who have gone through great hardship, whose hearts have been broken, but who know the Lord is good. Life's still not easy. God is faithful. He calls us to trust Him. In Jesus we have the high priest who sympathizes with what we go through and who has overcome. Remember that verse from John's Gospel? In this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome. Take heart. The Jesus who understands, who knows, who sympathizes with what we go through, but yet has overcome, who graciously calls us to Him so that in Him we may be more than conquerors, however rough the sea may be. Jesus asks me two questions and asks us two questions. Why are you so afraid? And do you still have so little faith? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are the faithful one that we've sung about. And forgive us, Lord, that we can sing the words and yet panic in our lives. Help those words, Lord, to become our experience. Help us moment by moment, day by day, Lord, by your Spirit, to build our lives upon Jesus, who is the solid rock. And safe in him, may we live lives that give you honor and glory. And this we ask in his strong name. Amen.